So if I were to ask you, what are the two biggest holidays in the Christian calendar? What are the two holidays, or the festivals that you think of as we celebrate in the Christian church? You would probably say Christmas and Easter, right? When Jesus rises from the dead. And, you know, those are great accomplishments that Jesus was born into this world, and he also died on the cross and rose again. But I want to talk to you about another great event in the life of Jesus that sometimes we just kind of gloss over. We don't really celebrate it. It doesn't often fall on a Sunday. And that is the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Tim Keller has this great kind of, why is the ascension so important? And so if you consider Christmas and Easter without the ascension, it would be just if somebody built this beautiful house, all right? A beautiful house that just is spacious and beautiful, and nobody lived in it. Wouldn't that be ridiculous, all right? Or what if this chef prepared this wonderful meal of food, and it was delicious and great, and it was just set out for people, but nobody ate it? Wouldn't that be a shame? Also, it'd be like if some engineers wanted to build a road through a mountain, and they got all the explosives ready, and they didn't add the detonator, so that they couldn't, it had no boom, all right? And so that would be ridiculous. That would be awful. In the same way, when we think about Jesus' life, his birth, his death, his resurrection, we can't forget about the power that Jesus accomplished through his ascension. His ascension unleashed the power of Jesus because while Jesus was on earth, he was confined to one place and one time. When Jesus ascended into heaven, he now resumes his glory and he is able to be present everywhere. If you think about it, the ascension detonates, all right? Just like the explosives need a detonation, Jesus' ascension detonates his ministry throughout the world. When you think about Jesus, his ministry was very local, in around Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. But where did Jesus tell his disciples to take the good news? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, even to the ends of the very earth. And you see, Jesus in his ascension is that detonation moment that creates a movement where the power and the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, is spread throughout the world. For the disciples, they may have thought it's the loss of Christ's presence. But the reality about the ascension is that it is actually the multiplication. It's the multiplication of Christ's presence. That again, no longer is Jesus limited to one place and time, but now Jesus can accomplish what he promised the disciples in the end of Matthew. And surely I am with you always, always to the very ends of the age. And so as we think about the ascension, we hear in Luke chapter 24, our gospel lesson today, that Jesus left them, and where was he taken? Up into heaven. And sometimes we get a little bit confused about where this is, because in the beginning of the scriptures in Genesis, God created the heavens and the earth. And there's some people who think when you think of heavens, it's the sky, it's the universe, it's out there away from earth. And in our earthly terms, that is the heavens. But Jesus didn't get taken to the heavens. He was taken to heaven. Heaven is the place where God dwells. Heaven is a place that is outside of our time and space. Heaven is a place that is around us, but it's not a part of this creation. And so Jesus went to heaven to sit at the right hand of his heavenly Father. And because Jesus went into heaven, outside of space, outside of time, Jesus is able to be with us everywhere. For the disciples, they really didn't get this, all right? When Jesus went into heaven, they just stood there. And so God sent angels and said, "Men of Galilee, why are you just standing there?" The disciples didn't understand that this was that detonation moment where God was doing something new. God was ready to explode the church from a local movement to a worldwide movement. But what were the disciples doing? They were just standing there. I think that's sometimes where we find ourselves as Christians today. We hear this good news. We know Jesus is there somewhere, but we're not sure what to do about it. And so we just stand there. We're just passive. We let life kind of pass us by because we aren't sure what to be doing next. But the angels, God sends his messengers, his word to say, there's so much work to be done. Don't just stand there. Go. And once the disciples heard these words of the angels, they went back to Jerusalem. And you remember what they were filled with? Gail really brought this out in our children's message. When they heard this message of the angels, they realized what this meant, that Jesus was going to heaven. They worshiped Jesus. He wasn't there, but they worshiped him. And they returned to Jerusalem with what? With great joy. They returned to Jerusalem with great joy because they got it. They got it that God was doing something new. He was doing something great. Not just one person, but now the disciples were sent. The apostles sent ones to share the good news, the gospel, with everyone. The apostles and all the followers take this message of Jesus, his life, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, and the truth that Jesus will return. And they begin to proclaim this message to everyone, everywhere. To kind of think of how God is separate from this universe, how many of you have ever watched a play? Or maybe a movie, all right? A play or a movie, it's a story, right? So often it's very fictional. It's not true. And it's just a world that is created in the mind of the author. And they put it into print. They put it into action. They film it and they share it with others. Now, when you watch a play, what does the play tell you about who wrote the play? Really nothing, right? Unless if the author of that play somehow reveals himself through the actors, through the people he's created. And so in the same way, the author is outside of his creation, that play. The same way God is outside of the creation that he has made. God is outside of, he's separate, he's something altogether different than the creation of this universe. And yet, has God revealed himself? Has God made himself known in creation? You bet he has. You look at the sunshine, you look at a sunrise or sunset, and you say, there must be a God. You hold a baby in your arms, and you just marvel at the little hands and the feet and the eyes and the nose, and you say, there must be a God. We also have that conscience inside of us that convicts us when we do wrong, when we hurt others or we hurt ourselves, and tells us, you know, that's not right or good. All too often we tell ourselves, it's not that bad. But God has given us a conscience to convict us of our sin. God has also given us scripture. In fact, God has wrapped himself in human flesh and has revealed himself to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. If you want to know who God is, look at Jesus. If you want to know, does God stay apart from his creation? Look at Jesus. God enters into creation. And not just the good parts of creation. Jesus entered into creation to interact with the lame and the deaf and the weak and the broken and the tax collectors and the prostitutes and the outcasts. And Jesus shared a message of love, of forgiveness, of wholeness. He said, come to me and I will set you free. God sent his son into this world to reveal God to the world that we might be set free. So when we look at Jesus, we see God. When we look at Jesus' love and life, we see God's love and life. When we wonder, does God love me? We look to the cross, and God says, yes, I love you so much. I sent my son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross to take away your sins. Jesus lived the perfect life we can't live, and then Jesus died the death we deserved to die. Why? Why did God send his son to this world? I love this passage from John chapter 8. And if you're at home, if you're in the sanctuary, would you read this passage with me? Let's read these words of Jesus. Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That's right. The truth will set you free. What is this truth? This is the truth of the gospel, that God has loved you, that God has sent his son and draws you into a relationship with him. Jesus, when he ascended to heaven, he sits at God's right hand and he reminds his father, even when we mess up, even when we sin, even when we're afraid, Jesus says, I've died. I've paid for that sin, Father. They are in me. And they're reminded because God loves his son. And because we are in the son, God loves us. And we are set free from our sin. We are set free from our fears. We are set free to live for Jesus. Not only this, but what are the implications? What does it mean? Why have we been set free? For what purpose? Jesus tells his disciples, you are my witnesses of these things. He says to his disciples that you are going to witness and carry this message to the world. One of the amazing things that Jesus says that when he's talking about John the Baptist, that he was the greatest prophet that has ever lived. But Jesus tells them that even the one with just a little bit of faith is greater than John the Baptist. Why is that? Because one with a little bit of faith can tell people about Jesus. They can point people to Jesus, who is God's son, who is our savior, who died on the cross for us. And so you and I, we are witnesses of these things to tell this world that Jesus has died, he rose again, he ascended to heaven, and he's coming back. What we do in this world matters. There will be a day of judgment where those who do wrong will be punished, but those who believe in Jesus Christ, we will be set free from this world of sin and death and suffering, set free to live with Jesus for eternity. The other implication of this fact is that in this world, Jesus sends us as himself. Jesus sends us to be his hands and his feet. Then when whatever we do something for even the least of these, whether it's offer a cup of water, maybe make a phone call to someone we know who is alone, maybe it's reaching out to someone offering food or clothing or visiting someone who is in captivity, whether it's a prison or captivity of the heart of mind, Jesus says, when you do this for one of the least of these, you're doing it for me. You see, Jesus is still present on this earth, isn't he? Jesus is still active in this world, isn't he? Jesus is on the loose to redeem and to save and to gather all people to himself. But how does Jesus work today? That's right, through you and through me, through the church. We are his hands and his feet. So my friends in Christ, go, share the message. Do great acts of kindness, of love, of generosity, knowing that we take Jesus to this world. Amen? Amen. Amen. Will you pray with me? Lord God, Heavenly Father, help us to be the hands and the feet of Jesus, to carry this good news to all, that people may hear and see the joy in our hearts. Not fear, not troubles, but to know that even in the midst of things we can't understand, we know that we have been redeemed by Jesus and that his Spirit lives in us. Help us, Lord, to be your witnesses, to carry Jesus to the entire world. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.